Bryce Atkinson, ESPN Upstate. How you doing, buddy?
What's happening, the King? Good morning and happy Friday. Football season is in the air.
You can kind of feel it. Yeah, I agree. What stood out to you from the media day events so far? You can pick SEC, ACC, Big 12, whatever you want.
What stood out to me was the typical cliches that we get. I am so happy to go into the weekend while football is in the air, to go into the weekend not hearing the words, I'm excited, we're excited, success, culture, all the typical, you know, things, coach speak that we hear every single year this time of year. And it just gets nauseating when you hear the exact same things out of every coach's mouth. That's why I thought Larry Fedora is outlandish and ridiculous, is what he said at ACC Media Day on Wednesday, day one. I thought was actually refreshing. Now, I mean, I think the guy is so far out to lunch. You know, when if you're somebody that does not believe there is a correlation between concussions, CTE, and playing football, I mean, you got to be out of your daggum mind. And I think Larry Fedora is. But it was refreshing to actually hear something, even though as crazy as it was, to hear something like that. So I'm just glad that the cliches are done. Give me more some of this Larry Fedora, some more nutty stuff that we can all chew on for a couple of days, because that certainly makes it more interesting.
You know what? There's a lot of what he said I agreed with. And let me explain to you. Let me explain this to you. I understand the risk of football and what might happen down the road. I think that's pretty obvious. But when he said they're attacking the game, I agree with him, because we all know the game's physical, and we all know that you're not required to play the game. So I don't get the part where they're trying to legislate to the point where it's going to be everybody's in bubble wrap. Either play it or don't. That's my point. Don't play it if you don't want problems.
Yeah, and let me say, there were a lot of layers to where he was spinning his wheels, and there were a lot of layers to it.
Right.
I agree from the standpoint, the point you're making about the game being under attack as far as participation being down in communities across the country. There are less kids playing it now than before, and I think a lot of it is, I'm not going to say scare tactics, because I believe this stuff is real. I mean, case in point, my house, my 7-year-old has said, I want to play football. I said, no, you're not going to play it. You're going to play soccer, baseball, be a swimmer like dad, maybe even be a curler if we can find some ice around here. But he wants to play it. I got no problem with him playing flag football. I just don't want him going out playing tackle football. I was never a football player myself. But I got no problem if people and their kids want to go do it, cool. But I know that in my house, and that's a reason why I think participation things, the conversations that my wife and I have had, it is down. So I understand from the standpoint of the attack on the game and where he's coming from with that. But equating to saying, you know, an attack on their game, our country's going to go down with it. I mean, that stuff, when you talk about the U.S. military and the country going down in football, I thought some of that stuff was just way out there.
Right. No, I don't equate football with the happiness of the country. I didn't get that part.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Bryce Atkinson with us on this Friday edition from the Southern Steak and Oyster. How about Aaron Murray and then Pollock joining him in critiquing Coach Jeremy Pruitt? What did you think about that?
I was surprised, and I was surprised because Aaron Murray, I feel like that it was from out in left field, because it had been, what, several years since they had, you know, since they had worked together, since, you know, they had been together on the same practice field. I was kind of taken aback by it. Now, I really wasn't sure why or where the shot really was coming from, or the reason behind it to go, you know, take a shot at him. Because here's what I would say to Aaron Murray. If you want to take a shot at him, go for it. But why don't you let the dude coach his first game as a head coach and get through a season before you want to start firing darts and arrows? Because I just didn't really care for it. I just didn't know really why and where it was coming from. And I thought it caught a lot of people by surprise. It caught me by surprise.
Yeah. And it obviously, to me, it was personal, because Jeremy Pruitt and Mark Richt probably totally 180 opposites. And I think there was a lot of clashing there, a lot of rumors about what things went down when he was there. But to me, it sounded personal. And then, of course, David Pollock joined him. on
well,
that.
Well, it definitely was personal. I mean, and that's the point to make is it came off as I'm not critiquing a guy's ability as a coach. I saw it and read it as this guy's just going after the dude himself. I mean, this is there's some beef, there's some blood there, and Aaron Murray's just ticked off and doesn't like the guy. And it honestly came off a little bit petty, if you ask me, because that's where how I read it is this is just he's going after the guy's character, and it's a personal. There is personal issues there, and that's how it came off. It didn't come off as he's critiquing the guy as a coach. It came off as he doesn't like him.
So the local guys here, Ty and company, they were there. And I asked them who the best interview was. They said Jared Stidham. I asked them who the worst was, and they said Deebo Samuel. I watched him on Feinbaum. He answers questions with one word, which is his prerogative, okay? This kid's a hell of a player. But you're there locally. You cover Clemson and South Carolina. Is that something we should have known about Deebo Samuel in advance?
I think Deebo Samuel, he typically has said more than that. And so I was a little bit surprised to see that happen because, as a former SID, too, I'm not going to send a kid. If I know a kid is a one-word answer kid, if I know that from the beginning, and some people and some writers would disagree because some writers think, I don't care what the kid says, put him in front of me, let me try and pry what I can out of him. I don't necessarily agree with that, especially as a former SID, because I want to send the kids, I think, that are going to go out there and sell the school, sell our program, sell our team, sell what we've got on the table for the coming year. And I don't think that those guys down in South Carolina, Steve Fink and company, the SID at USC, I don't think they're going to send Deebo Samuel knowing that he is a one-word answer guy, because he has not been like that in the past. I do think Deebo Samuel was one of the best dressed guys. If you want to find superlatives, I thought that get up he had, that white get up was pretty sharp. But yeah, that is not the Deebo Samuel I've heard. And as a writer, if you're covering it, like Ty and the guys there at your station, that is a frustrating thing when you got a dude that will not give you anything, that you go and try and get, you try and get something out of, and you're getting one sentence answers. I mean, I've been on Radio Row, so many times, you get a kid that sits down, you got about 5-6 questions you typically get through if they give you some answers. I've been to the point where I've run out of 5 and 6 questions in about 2 minutes with some kids because they don't say anything. But, yeah, that was a little bit surprising for Deebo because I know Deebo has got a lot more than that. I don't know if it was some kind of quiet confidence deal. I don't know if he's trying to come off as, I don't know what that was all about, but I do know that Deebo is a much more articulate kid.
Give us the thoughts on the huge contract that Dabo Swinney has given the defensive coordinator, Brent Venables.
It was a long time in the works, and Dabo even said it. But here's the thing, and I know a lot of people are like, oh, my goodness, holy cow, look at the money. It's not the money. I mean, you're trying to keep this guy happy so he doesn't go anywhere. And his son, Jake Venables, who's now a freshman on the team, that almost was the contract extension or raise, if you will, having his son play on the team now. So I understand the contract extension. I understand the raise to try and keep him happy. You don't want him going anywhere. I mean, Brent Venables is the Deshaun Watsons, the Trevor Lawrences, the C.J. Spiller, some of the guys that have come through and made Clemson what they are. Look, let's be real about this thing, Bill. Clemson Fields annually one of the 5 best defenses, statistics notwithstanding, in the country every year. Brent Venables, I don't think you would argue, and it's conservative to say he's one of the 3 best defensive coordinators in the game. You're going to do everything you can to make sure that dude is happy and that dude stays, because he has been one of the driving instruments to success for this entire program. But as you well know, too, look, if he gets a head coaching offer that is too good to pass up, the contracts are meant to be broken.
Yeah. Do you think he's a lifer, D coordinator? It kind of feels like it.
I just don't think that, having been around Venables a lot, I just don't – look, everybody, especially when you're coaching or, you want to be the head of a company, but especially in the coaching game, You know, there's so many guys that want to have their shot at the top, and rightfully so. But there's some guys that just are meant to be coordinators. That's what they are. And that's not a bad thing if they're not head coaching material. And you don't find that out many times until you get your shot in the big boy chair. Jeremy Pruitt, we're going to find out how he handles the big boy chair. There's just so many things you don't know about that you have to do as a head coach that you don't have a clue about until you're there. And I can give you many different examples. But Venables, the way you go out, I mean, everybody, you know, has always talked about, well, when Bill Snyder retires, is he going to be the guy? Because he's a K-State alum. I mean, he's more of that Bill Snyder kind of introverted type of guy. I mean, he's got passion. He's got juice. We see him on the sidelines. But when you sit in interview settings, that's not always the most comfortable place for him. He is the 180 of Dabo Swinney when it comes to sitting down and talking and the aesthetics. I get the feeling that a defensive coordinator spot, like at Clemson, that's where he needs to – that's his spot. Now, I also thought that Chad Morris, and full disclosure, I always thought Chad Morris was never really a head coach material. But we'll find out what he does at Arkansas, because I'm really curious to see. It wasn't like he set the world on fire at SMU. He did okay. I mean, he got them turned around to a degree, but they weren't lighting, you know, the AEC on fire. I'm curious what Chad Morris does. So there's certain guys I thought before that have no business being a head coach, and I was wrong about them. So
Chad Morris just killed Ty. You just killed Ty with that Arkansas. He's moving back to Arkansas to take a job.
Look, I love it. Look, Ty's awesome, man. And I loved watching some of the I don't remember if it was on SEC Network, but the opening press conference and stuff. And Chad Morris had everybody. I mean, he had everybody sold. I mean, and he might do a fantastic job in Vietnam. Time will tell. I just never thought, being around Chad Morris, I thought offensive coordinator and what he does, how he operates, all the different things that go into it, I thought that's where Chad Morris, I thought he was a lifer as an offensive coordinator. Look, I admit when I'm wrong. That's the thing about this thing. I will stand up and say, yep, raise my hand. I was wrong about that dude. I was wrong about that player.
Have a good weekend, brother. Appreciate
you,
man.
Bill.
There he is.